child. Just got to juggle it too wild. That's why we got more than two styles. Doing that for the situation too child. And though the road is rocky, I'm ready to try the next mile to bring sight to the blind man. It's down to the left child. We will survive in this country wilderness. Swimming through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Jungleist, specialist, predator and survivalist. Spitting heaven, fire from his lips. Burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners. The time for an awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Though they get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com. which is the homepage, and catch the live stream at that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to abibitumi.com/timeforanawakening. That's abibitumi.com/timeforanawakening. And catch the live stream there. Or you can download the TuneIn Radio app to any of your devices. TuneIn Radio app is a free app. And in that TuneIn engine, search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream your program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for an Awakening media is there also. Always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening media. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, and share with your friends. Also, check out that Time for an Awakening marketplace and our partnership with the BB Toomey. Always interesting things in the marketplace all the time. Various African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much, much more being taught by professors on both the continent and in the diaspora. So, again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening media. It's 8:06 here in the city of Philadelphia on this chilly Friday evening in the city of Philadelphia, and we're in Freestyle Friday mode. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a call. We'll talk about it in our open forum, and you can do that by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services if when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m., for podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:11 here in the city of Philadelphia on this Freestyle Friday. And before we get started with our program, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and R Street, Brother Richard. Is with us, Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. You know, as usual, Friday and freestyle, and we looking for, you know, the Time for Awakening audience to help in stimulating and informing us on what's going on from their perspective. But, you know, Elliot, there's a lot of discussions I'm around right now and dealing with, you know, about right now, Pan-Africanism, what it is to be black, who's black, who's not black. And then, you know, the whole thing about the, you know, reparations is still rolling out and different formations is happening around that. But, yeah, so that's what's going on, you know, with me right now. And as always, kind of trying to get Friday, Freestyle Friday gives me opportunity to try to wrap my head around with the assistance of, you know, what you bring up and with the audience and the Time for Awakening audience bring up, but just what's going on, what's going on right now.
Yeah, I got some articles that I want to share. And we'll do that probably in the first half hour, second half hour of the program. I want to share some of these articles here about the recent strain of this Omicron virus that's spreading around on top of the Delta that's already here. It was interesting published reports that was put out. One was from 2 weeks ago, and the other two that I want to share is recent, within a day or two. In fact, one was today. And when I share it with the audience, it's really something to put our critical thinking hats on when we're dealing with it, because it's decisions that we'll have to make, and especially for listeners here in Pennsylvania, it's something that came down today, and I want to share just in case the listening audience don't know, because it'll be reflective of what's going to go on in other areas of this country also. One of the other things is I was talking to Brother Quajo the other day, Richard, from a BB to me, and I had a couple of guests that wanted to come on the program, and it ties in with something I heard today. I was listening to Carl Nelson's show, when I was driving, and he talked about the, I think it was the Wakanda conference that one of our past guests, Erykah Chinaboa-Kwayo, was involved in.
Right.
And he said that he was surprised of the number of black folks that have repatriated to the continent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about Ghana. Several nations in the continent that have a kind of a come back home, open door policy to blacks in the diaspora. And he mentioned that he was surprised of the number. Well, when I was talking to Brother Quajo, he was talking about folks that would want to come on to talk about if people was interested in doing that, how they could facilitate things, mm-hmm. how they could get, if they wanted a home built, how they could get, and some of the things that he was saying, Richard, were really surprising to me about the affordability of not only, property, if you decide to purchase property there, but even to have a dwelling built. The affordability of these things is in comparison to what we are used to here in this country. It's like night and day. So, it would be good, I think, as a vehicle for information to put that information out, because you're not going to hear this on black programs terrestrially. You're not going to hear it. They're not going to discuss these things. They don't even tell you about the number of people that have repatriated. You don't know. And if you weren't aware of these things, you wouldn't think these things are going on.
Right. As you say that, I think about also the people who talk about the migration towards the South, as a means of trying to deal. So, we're in motion right now. So, it's good to have that option of going to the continent of different countries. I think we were talking to somebody who, I think it was a sister, was that Gambia?
That was Gambia, that talked about the, in fact, I might reach back out to her because she, and that was, I think it was earlier this year when, she talked about the group, because she was an attorney.
Right.
Out of England that had repatriated to Gambia, and she had been there for the past, I think, 15 years or something like that. And she started her legal practice there. And then, when Gambia had kind of formulated their repatriation process, she was involved in it.
Right.
And told people how they can, and I got to get her back on to kind of, because things was in motion when we were talking, and that was at the beginning of the year, Rich, if you remember.
Right. Yeah, because I think it was something in order to make moving towards either dual citizenship or at least some kind of permanent residency.
Yeah, because the people can come back there, but she was interested in them being able to acquire citizenship,
right?
And that's what it kind of centered around. But she would help them kind of facilitate even coming back if they decided to go to Gambia. You got other areas like Sierra Leone. I think Brother Marcus was talking about one of the brothers, and I think it was in Sierra Leone that the doctor wanted to come. In fact, we got to reach back out to him, because when we tried to have him on at one time, we couldn't reach him for some reason. I guess he didn't, his audio wasn't correct, and we couldn't get him on the air. But he did some things around it. I mean, I think they considered him the George Washington Carver of cashew fruit, I think.
Right, right. That's, matter of fact, yeah, we didn't get to have that.
You were getting it, yeah. And he was on, but we just couldn't hear him. Right. So, yeah, we got to reach back around to kind of get folks on, because, listen, you're not – if you're waiting for some of these other shows, whether it's the Golden Eagle or whatever, and or Sharpton, to have some of these people on, you're not going to hear them. So, you know, we just do what we have to do, or do what we want to do, to kind of facilitate some information so people can at least have the option of hearing these things and make a decision whatever they want to do.
And I'm going to take it, because the thought came to me, Elliot, and because we ain't open forum. I'm just... I don't know if this is one of them. Here go Richard again, doing something inappropriate, taking advantage of Time for Awakening, audience, and hopefully not taking advantage of you. But I wanted to shout out to Dr. Henderson to let him know that Brother Man is now on his third book, and it's important because, you know, in dealing with African realism, which is the one that I'm going through now, which I had already dealt with Afrocentrism and world politics. And, you know, before that was when we had him on, and we were going through The Revolution Will Not Be Theorized. As we're talking about repatriation to the continent and just putting it in a broader context of geopolitics, I'm just wanted to let him know, if he's listening, you know, that I'm still working on it. Not that I'll be able to engage in any conversation, but I'm just working on it. And I wanted the listening audience to, especially the Revolution Will Not Be Theorized, because it deals with of us not just being, you know, when we talk about repatriation, I'm hoping people are not just dealing with it as a means of escape, individual escapism. I'm hoping that it's a part of a broader, grand strategy as it relates to African people and what we're doing, what we're in that historical continuity, what we're doing to create the tie of, and from my vantage point, with, you know, what the UNIA wanted was to make Africa as a geopolitical entity, a stronger nation, a continental state based off of our historical position. I'm hoping that the individuals that are doing the repatriation is also having the political aspect in mind. So I just wanted to, because I think Dr. Henderson's books help to, you know, and I'm just singling him out as one of many to help us be able to, you know, sharpen our understanding of what we do individually as we think locally, how it had the impact it has globally, and making the continent in this geopolitical arrangement of being subservient to Western powers makes it stronger. I just wanted to throw that out. And I do have an article that relates to why I think that when we have a moment.
You want to share it now, or you want me to kind of move to a few other things?
It's something that I thought was interesting. Which came out, what's that, today is the 10th? It was updated to 10th. The IMF 10 countries stimulated cyber attack on global financial systems. And this is the this is what struck me. Occupy Jerusalem. Israel on Thursday led a 10-country simulation of a major cyber attack on the global financial system in an attempt to increase cooperation that would help to minimize any potential damage to financial markets and banks. The simulated cyber attack evolved over 10 days, with sensitive data emerging in the dark web along with fake news reports that ultimately, now this is a simulation, right?
Go ahead. Right?
Simulation. Along with fake news reports that ultimately cause chaos in global markets and a run on banks. The simulation featured several types of attack that impacted global foreign current exchange and bond markets, liquidity and integrity of data and transactions between importers and exporters. Quote, these events are creating havoc in the financial markets, unquote, said a narrator of a film shown to the participants as part of the simulation and seen by Reuters. Israel government officials said that these threats are possible in the wake of many high-profile cyber attacks on large companies, and that the only way to contain any damage is through global cooperation, since current cybersecurity is not always strong enough. Quote, attackers are 10 steps ahead of the defenders, Micah Wise, financial cyber manager at Israel's finance ministry, told Reuters. Now, as it goes on, if give me a couple more, because I thought this was interesting. U.S. blacklists Israel hacking tool vendor NSO Group. Participants in the initiative called Collective Strength, including Treasury officials from Israel, the United States, the United Kingdom, United Arab Emirate, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Thailand, as well as representatives from the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, and Bank of International Settlements. Now, why I thought this in relationship to what you raised about repatriation and looking at, you know, us being clear of, you know, what our grand strategy is in relationship to why we're moving and setting up from an individual perspective in these individual countries within Africa. I didn't hear one African country on the continent that is financial system is going to be, this is a simulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be protected if there was this type of cyber attack. And this is the simulation. And it goes on. The narrator of the film in the simulation said governments were under pressure to clarify the impact of the attack, which was paralyzing the global financial system. Quote, the banks are appealing for emergency liquidity assets, it sounds like 2008, in a multitude of currencies to put a halt to the chaos as counterparties withdraw their funds and limit access liquidity, leaving the banks in disarray and ruin, unquote, the narrator said. Now, remember, when they had the last simulation going on, if I'm not mistaken, they said that they were doing a simulation at the same time, and I think this, and I think Sister Cynthia McKinney, which just so happened, this is where this article comes from, the last time that they did a simulation, it was at the same time that supposedly 9/11 was being, the bombing occurred. I don't know if that is to the Time for Awakening audience or to you, Elliot, do you remember that at that point in time there was talk about a simulation taking place?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just stop there because, you know, it's not much more, but just the point that, one, here is Israel doing this simulation. Two, that is dealing with the supposedly cyber security. Three, look at the countries that are involved. And four, we're always asked to ask the question, where am I? So they're saying these countries are and financial systems are safe to be protected. But if for those of us who are repatriating, those of us who looking at the grand strategy for a stronger global African state nation, a state as a continental state, and the nations with the nation states within them and the nations within those nation states to be strong. And we're moving towards this development at this time. These simulations does not even have us in consideration. So the models that they're using is saying to me that you're worth going down if this was to happen.
Yeah, because most of those countries that you named either are European countries or satellites,
right,
of European satellite governments of European countries. I think two of them, the United Arab Emirates,
right,
and another country you name is definite satellites of European countries.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is the fight. This is the, they're telling us in the, this called the fourth industrial revolution, that this cyber, this data, you know, even with, and I can't, I always get it missing. Is it Facebook that went now? Is it Facebook? Who done became Metaverse?
Yeah, Meta or something like that. Yeah, I think it's Facebook.
No. That, you know, and them becoming, you know, like it's everything is data. And the question is, well, where are we? Because I hear some people make the thing like we're, you know, with that Bitcoin and all of that, that we're going to be center stage. But it's one thing to be able to individually grow off of these here new formations and be protected. But it's another thing for us who have, and that's what the question I'm asking us, who are repatriating, for those of us who have a bigger, grander strategy in mind from a power perspective, that we, you know, think globally and act locally, more than just think locally and be acting in our own self-interest. I just thought that was something to share.
You know, that's something that we could look into. We've had people on that talk that have talked about that. As I recall, Sean Rochester, mm-hmm, deals with finance. He's the one that wrote the Black Tax.
Right.
And also Cynthia McKinney. She's always up on those type of conversations. So it'd be good to kind of bring her back on to kind of talk about a lot of those things.
It's just interesting that they're doing, if they're doing these simulations and, you know, Israel is always in the center of it when it ain't supposed to be, right? Because, you know, the question is, like, who asked Israel to do this? You know, they wasn't supposed to be the ones to do it. But they couldn't do it in Dubai. So because of, it says the simulation was originally scheduled to take place at Dubai World Expo, but it was moved to Jerusalem due to the, how you say it, Omicron, that new variant of COVID-19, with officials participating over video conference. Some of the participants said in a real cyber attack situation, governments would take action more quickly than in the simulation. One European financial office official said that in the case of such an attack, his country would not wait 10 days to act. Quote, as soon as the supply money was hampered, at least in the European Union, we would probably have an emergency meeting on the same day, he said, and adding that he would immediately reach out to counterparts across Europe and the United States. Yeah, they ain't playing.
I know it.
You know what I mean? I don't know what, you know, what we think, but these people are not playing. And they're planning, and therefore we should be too.
You know, to kind of go along with what you're saying, but on a different perspective, and we're in open forum, so callers can call up and mention what they want to. I mentioned I had some things I wanted to share in reference to this Omicron coronavirus, this new one that's kind of spreading around, and I'll do that shortly. Richard, I see that Brother Otis put something in the chat. I don't know whether you noticed it. You see it up there about New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see if he wanted to come on a few minutes. And I know that sometimes he'd be working. I don't know how he's situated, but it's interesting. Now, I hadn't seen this. Did you see that, Richard?
I didn't see it, but I heard people mention about it.
Now, we've had
driver's license, I think.
Maurice was on last week, the Maurice Cobb out of New York City, and mentioned about the thing that's going on in council up there. I think he said you had two white representatives, two black and two Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
that was vying for those positions. It's interesting to see what's happening. Let's see what the let's go to Newport News and see if Brother Otis want to get involved. Brother Otis, are you there? Let's put him, maybe he stepped away. Let's put him back. Because you see a lot of things going on. And when you mentioned about the planning of this, he sent an article earlier this week, Richard, about Atlanta, about the population shift.
Right.
I think the city council president down there is a white guy in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the population shift down there. I think Atlanta is like 40% black, 30%. What was those percentages? Let me, because I want to get that right. I don't want to misquote that. And he sent that in reference in the email. Let me find that thing there. Take me a second. Richard, is here somewhere? Yeah, here it is. Atlanta's population is 50.95% black, 40% white, 4% Asian, and the other races make up the other percentage. 50% black, 40% white. So it's a shift going on, Richard, even in Atlanta. The shift is going, it's a shift going on.
Brother said he couldn't, he's off the mic, but he can't be heard.
Well, no problem. It's also an article here, and I'm looking at it in Politico. And it states, black people are leaving Chicago en masse, and it's changing the city's political power. It says, Chicago's power struggle shows that at stake, the city's losing its black population, and they're not alone. 9 of 10 cities with large black populations are on the verge of the same exodus. Richard, where's people been going? Where are they going?
Mm.
Because in Atlanta, it shows that that population is decreasing.
That's what I keep asking.
Our people are on the move. And I think it's moves afoot to try to not only gauge what's going on, but to cut them off at the pass no matter what they choose to do. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just saw this article here, published report, and it was released on December 6th. It says, Justice Department sues Texas over the redrawn voting maps that disenfranchises black voters in Texas. Now, that's in Texas, Richard, but you know up here in Pennsylvania, they redrew those voting maps and took away. Go ahead.
Where the Republicans are.
Mm-hmm. And took away somebody. Now, not saying that our people need to be in politics the same way these Europeans are, because that's been the problem, and we see the results of that. But if you came up with another strategy and implemented some of the strategies that other people have been on here talking about, independent parties, it could be effective.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of these areas where we predominantly populate. These other people that has been the the designers of this system that we live under realize that. So they have to come up with ways to kind of cut you off at the pass. Maybe I'm on the wrong track, Richard.
Oh, no. I mean, no. I mean, that's why I was saying we can't be playing with what's going on as if we're not thinking just about ourselves. If we're thinking from the perspective of us as a people, as you say, these moves that's being made is to disenfranchise not us, but a generation and two that's coming up in to disenfranchise them. And we're the ones that have to make the choice of, do we hold it off, put barriers, or we just let it go and recognize that they're going to be, and you know, a large population is going to be in worse shape because we did less than even those of the quote unquote civil rights or Black Power era. You know, we at least got that consciousness and we ain't got nothing else. If we don't do our work, they you know, but the CRT and what's that, the 1776 debate going on, they won't even have that. They won't even have no inkling of what, who Martin Luther King was, or Malcolm X, or Kwame Ture, or the Panthers, or SNCC, you know, and quiet as it kept, even the NAACP, because they'll be around, but they'll be so quiet that they won't even be known of.
We're in open forum this evening. You can give us a call. We've got some callers on the line, and I'll go to them shortly. Richard, I'm going to share a couple of these articles dealing with this virus and this new variant. First, I want to read. Now, this came out today. They had made the decision on it last month, but I think it was appealed. And the court made a ruling on it today. And let me read this, because it affects schools here in Pennsylvania. But you know this is going to reverberate. And the thing that is really interesting is, how do we react to this? And when I say we, I'm talking about our schools, the schools that we have in our communities. Let me read this, Richard. Pennsylvania High Court throws out mask mandate for schools. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A statewide mask mandate for Pennsylvania schools' children was thrown out by the state Supreme Court on Friday, today, raising the prospect that students in the state may soon be allowed to attend classes without face coverings. The justices announced their decision to invalidate the Wolf administration's statewide mandate for masks inside K-12 school buildings and child care facilities but did not issue a written opinion that explains their reasoning. They upheld a lower court decision that made a mandate that the mandate was imposed by a Democratic Governor Tom Wolf's acting health secretary without legal authorization. The practical impact of the decision will depend on what the justices say in written opinions they will issue in the case of which schools and school districts impose their own mask requirements. The court took action amid a statewide surge in infections and hospitalizations. Pennsylvania is reporting an average of 7,500 infections per day, up 20% in the past 2 weeks. Hospitalizations has risen 55% during the same period, and the average of more than 4,000 per day in acute care facilities are becoming overwhelmed. Wolf's press secretary, Beth Riedemer, described the decision as extremely disappointing. Three justices upheld the Commonwealth Court ruling and the lower court found that Pennsylvania's disease control law does not give health secretaries blanket authority to create new rules and regulations out whole cloth, providing that they are related in some way to the control of diseases or can otherwise be characterized as disease control measures. The decision will be left to 500 school districts in Pennsylvania with respect to what to do with the implications of this order, says Thomas King, a lawyer for the Republican lawmakers, school districts, school, and parents who sued to challenge it. King, who advised against mask mandates, says school boards will have to consult lawyers about what policy to adopt. The lawsuit was filed by the Senate president pro temp, Jake Coman, a Republican from Center, Pennsylvania, State Representative Jesse Topper, a Republican from Bedford, two religious schools, three public school districts, and several parents of school children. Now, Richard, we see here that the state overturned mask mandates, and it's a big tug of war between whites on both sides of the political aisle. Now, this was overturned because of a lawsuit that was enacted by two Republican representatives, two religious schools, three public school districts, and several parents of school children. Now, I'll be willing to bet a large sum of money or a small sum of money, Richard, that these religious schools, the public school districts, and the parents were all
right.
European. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, Richard, it's spiking. Pennsylvania, this virus is spiking, and it's Delta that's spiking. It's not even this Omicron. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've been noticing, you don't have a television. All across the country, you've had whites out there demanding that they don't want to wear masks. The parents is out there and they got the children. They don't know what's going on. They're just repeating what their parents say. I don't want to wear this mask. But this disease is spiking and spreading. And the reason it's spreading, not because of any shot in their arm and who got a shot and who don't. It's because these folks refuse to wear a mask in public. Now, you got a mandate that's coming on to the schools where your children go in Pennsylvania, and I'm saying your children because I'm talking about black children, that they don't have to wear a mask. So the thing is, Richard, what I'm saying is, what's going to happen in the school districts where we are? Are we going to follow this mandate that the Pennsylvania courts put down? Or are we going to say, no, uh-uh, our children are going to wear a mask? And these white teachers that's teaching in here, if you come in this building, you're going to be wearing a mask. Because believe me, Richard, some of these white teachers that's teaching in these schools go along with this mandate. They believe in it. Mm-hmm. So they're going to come in the school district and teach. They're going to come in the school buildings to be teaching your children with no face covering on. They intend to do that. You know they do.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do in relation to this? Now, and I just read here, what is it that says here, about lawyers dealing with the trying to decision will be left up to the school districts, the 500 school districts in Pennsylvania, in respect to what they will do with the implications of this order, says Thomas King, a lawyer for the Republican lawmakers, school districts, and school parents who sued to challenge it. So if you got lawyers involved, what are they going to tell some of the students in our districts? Because we under the Philadelphia school district. So what's going to be the response there? You know that most of the Philadelphia schools is predominantly black.
Right.
Public schools, anyway. What is going to be our response? What are some of these black lawmakers going to say in reference to it? Because the high court, the so-called high court in Pennsylvania, says to these folks, they can take their back because they're responding to their people complaining. Right. That's one thing that European lawmakers do. They might play games with their own folks, but they'll respond to their folks. They'll respond to them. You see it. Now, they're responding to them here because they're allowing them, okay, you don't want to wear a mask in school, take them off and let your children take them off. Children always keep their hand in their face. They sneezing, wiping. Children is children. So I want to see what's going to happen in reference to that.
Well, you know, and with Philadelphia getting, and I don't think that they just set out the criteria who's going to be the school superintendent, which will run the district. So I go along with you. I not only whoever that person will be, but based off of what I've seen in the past, most of these principal regional people, they'll follow the regulation, whether they're black or white, you know, because the law said that's what they're supposed to do. And not taking in mind the...
I hope you're wrong, Richard. What you just said, I hope you're wrong, Richard. Yeah. Because if they do, then black parents in mass ought to pull their children out of these damn schools. Mm. They shouldn't have been there anyway, as far as I'm concerned. But they should pull their children out.
Mm-hmm. And the rationale is from the beginning of the pandemic, and I go back to this, and when I get a string, I pluck it. I get that one string. They said our health condition is a very a reason why a lot of us will either catch the virus or be in a disabilitating state because of the virus. Because of the health condition that we are in, because of the food desert, the level of poverty, and whatever. These are the families that are going to these public schools. These are the children. So without any protection, and we're under, you know, having this, our systems is already compromised, the possibility of not only affecting the children, but those elderly who have full blown manifestation of this poor health, which makes, you know, that creates this public health crisis as it relates to health because of our environment. You know, you had talked about the sugar tax and the amount of sugar you consume, you know, These, which means diabetes, these are the things that will be kept going home and having a negative effect without, any protection.
You all right there, Richard? Oh, man.
And get out.
there's a couple other articles I want to share before we go to the phones. We already see here that Pennsylvania, for the residents that live in the area, And if you don't live here, it's coming soon to your area because whites all over this country been screaming about not wearing masks. So all it takes is one government to make that decision, and it'll go all over. We can, that's how it works here in this country we live in. Let me read this. This came out from the CDC today. More than 40 people in the U.S. have been found to be infected with the Omicron variant so far. And more than three quarters of them have been vaccinated. This is a published report from The Guardian. In an interview with Associated Press, Dr. Rochelle, hold on a second. In an interview with the Associated Press, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, said that data is very limited and the agency is working on more detailed analysis on what the new mutant form of the coronavirus might do in the U.S. What we generally know is that more mutations a variant has, the higher level you need immunity to be. We want to make sure we bolster everybody's immunity. That's really what motivates the decision to expand our guidance, Walensky said, in reference to recent approval for booster shots for adults. She said the disease is mild in almost all cases seen so far, with the reported symptoms as cough, congestions, and high fatigue. One person was hospitalized, but no deaths have been reported, according to the CDC. Some cases have become increasingly severe as days and weeks pass. And Walensky noted that the data is very early. The first glimpse of U.S. Omicron infections, the earliest onset. The earliest onset of symptoms of any of the 40 cases so far was first seen November the 15th, according to the CDC. The Omicron variant was first identified in South Africa last month and has been reported in nearly 57 countries, according to the World Health Organization. The first U.S. case was reported on December the 1st, and as of Wednesday afternoon, the CDC has recorded 43 cases in 19 states. About a third of the patients had traveled internationally. More than three quarters of those patients had been vaccinated. A third had boosters, Walensky said. Fewer than 1% of the U.S. COVID-19 cases last week were Omicron variant. The Delta variant accounted for 99% of the spike. So, Richard, according to the CDC, 40 cases have been diagnosed so far. Now, last week when it was introduced, it was a couple of cases. This week, it has raised to 40. And according to them, of the 40 cases, 30 have been people that have been vaccinated. 10 have not. So, what is that saying to you, Richard? I'm just curious. Say that again, because your mic was muted.
When we had Professor Jefferson on and the sister, I forget her name.
Dr. Metasavia Solomon.
Yeah, when we had them on, and I think it was them who were saying, no, it was Dr. Aline. The purpose of the virus will mutate depending on the defense that is in the system. So you take the vaccine, if you have, what was that, Delta, the virus mutating is addressing being able to overcome the vaccine that is supposed to prevent the Delta and create a new strain, which is Omicron. I think that's how they say the name. So what it's saying to me is that, though, you know, when you look at those numbers and you're saying the larger number are people who've been vaccinated, it's saying that this virus has overcome the vaccine that was initially supposed to address the virus before it mutated. Because I'm assuming, you know, not being into the weeds, and that's why we need those folks to come back and help us think through this, that this Omicron is a mutation from the Delta.
Yeah, exactly.
And the vaccine was really supposed to assist with the, when it was just the COVID, the first, when it was before it started getting letters. That's when the vaccine was supposed to address. Then they were supposed to get a booster. Now, if you got the vaccine before June, in order to address the Omicron, you still, you it's definite that you got to get the booster because the vaccine that you took is not effective for this mutation.
Well, they're already talking about three and four boosters, and you know, it's changing all the time. First, when the thing broke, they mentioned about 70% and you reach herd immunity, and then this virus would start dissipating because you reach herd immunity by 70%. This today, when they released this information, they're saying 90% got to be reached. Mm-hmm. It's changing all the time. What we do know is this, and I've already reached out to Dr. Leem and Professor Jefferson and Dr. Solomon to come back on, and they'll probably be on within the next couple of weeks. But what we do know is this, that the vaccines, and we've seen it, according to their own data, and according to this data that we see right here in front of us, that was released today by the CDC, we see that the vaccine is not protecting people from getting this virus. And it's questionable to whether it stops them from being hospitalized. That's the narrative that they have changed it to, Richard, that it'll stop you from being hospitalized.
Right.
That's questionable. The thing that we do know is it's not stopping people from getting this virus and passing it. That people are, and but that's what the narrative that the people were told, that if they get the shot, you can take your mask off and go on about you'll be all right. That's not accurate. And I don't think it's ever been accurate. I'm no doctor. The professionals will be on very shortly. But it's clear from the published reports and what we see going on that these vaccines are not protecting people from catching and spreading this virus. The only thing that have been protecting people from catching and spreading a virus is wearing a face covering at this time. And you can also protect your own immune system by building your immunity.
Right.
They're saying that the only way you can build your immunity is through these mRNA vaccines. And that's not right. That's not true. Because, I mean, that's what they're telling you.
Right. As you said, for those who were, that told, you know, and I'm being redundant, but they told us our health condition was bad. The vaccine was, but if your health condition was good, your immune system was good, which means that you were at least addressing your basic health concerns with the vaccine, you should be able to take your mask off. But if your health condition is bad, you need the vaccine and the mask, and you may be able to overcome, you know, possibly being not catching a virus, but being placed in a hospital because of the virus. And I'm emphasizing because this goes to this political question, because our community is behind two steps. Because we can get the vaccine and we can have the mask, but if our health is already bad, we're at a disadvantage. And we're at a disadvantage in a community where those things that require our immune system to be up either cost a lot or they don't exist. Because as everybody said, they ain't in it, that stuff is not in a bodega shop.
Yeah, so listen, we're going to see how this develops. You know, it's a lot of things going on that we can do, and we've done a lot of several programs on it to protect our immune system. I mean, according to this article I just read, the only way you can boost your immune system is with the mRNA vaccines that you're talking about, and that's not true. In fact, if you want to just rely on Europeans, some of their own folks say that ain't the only way you can address building your immune system. Although I don't care what they say one way or the other. I'm just saying that's not true, that's the only way that you can boost your immune system. I mean, people can do whatever they want. You're grown. You're an adult. You take vaccine, don't take vaccine, deal with building your strengthening your vitamin D intake, your vitamin C, your elderberry, your zinc. Those things help build your immune system. You know, do both, whatever. But one of the things that you need to do is wear your face coverings. And this law that's been introduced or reintroduced in Pennsylvania that students in school don't have to wear any masks. Let these other folks do that. Don't subject your children to going to these school buildings without their face covered.
Just because they say that you don't have to don't mean that you shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Two other things, Richard, that I wanted to share here, and very interesting, especially this last article, because I want to kind of drive. I'm saving this one for last because it's really a lot in here that we can gather from this, and it really needs to be investigated. But you're not going to see our people here that's supposed to help with the investigation. You're not going to see that coming from them. This last article I want to read really kind of points to that. But let me share these other two from published reports. The header of this is The History of Colonialism, Medical Abuses Impacting South Africa's Distrust of Vaccines. Now, if you remember, Richard, they stated that this Omicron virus was discovered in South Africa and spread to other places. Then later on, about three days later, it said it first started in Europe and was spread to South Africa, if you recall. But let me read some of this article. It says, a year and 9 months after the World Health Organization officially declared coronavirus a pandemic, South Africa still has concerns and lingering distrust for all three vaccines available to slow its spread. South Africa was one of the first countries to identify the Omicron variant and share the news with the World Health Organization, which appears to have earned it the punishment of the Western world. Travel bans to and from the nation have been enacted by most of North America and parts of Europe, in fact, impacting the already fragile economy still reeling from the wake of the pandemic. An article in the New York Times notes that growing skepticism and hostility toward vaccines have been stalling vaccination drives in South Africa and neighboring African nations. There's no doubt that vaccine hesitancy is a factor in the rollout of vaccines, quoting Dr. Matatuso Moeti, I know I'm messing up her name, the African director of the World Health Organization, told the New York Times. News and misinformation gets picked out and talked about, she said, and some people become afraid. Last week, travel bans were enacted. Moeti said that they attacked global solidarity. This week, the reports are emerging that just days before the Omicron variant was detected in the country, South Africa turned away shipments of both Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson vaccines. And the stockpile of 16 million shots might spoil amid insufficient demands. Furthermore, neglected and underfunded public health infrastructure in South Africa has slowed COVID-19 vaccine deliveries, especially in rural areas where shortages and staffing problems are common. Yet, only 36% of South Africa remains one of the most inoculated countries on the continent. According to the New York Times, only 10% of eligible population in Africa has received one shot or one dose of any vaccine, compared to 64% of North America and 62% of Europe. The 15-country study by the African Union and African CDC noted that more than 43% of Africans believe people on the continent are used as guinea pigs in vaccine trials, particularly because medical colonialism have long been a part of Africa's history. In 1990s, Nigeria was the state of clinical trials by Pfizer to test meningitis drugs without informed consent of African residents. Further, in 2014, West Africans had their blood samples collected for studies during the Ebola outbreak without informed consent. Experts note that the failure to inoculate poor nations like those in Africa and in India, which is also experiencing distrust of vaccines, will ultimately impact the health of richer nations. It is the objective to keep the U.S. and the rest of the world safe. If the objective is to keep the U.S. and the rest of the world safe, it should be pretty obvious that the success of domestic program depends on what happens internationally, says Dr. Saad Omer, a Yale University epidemiologist. Almost no investment in vaccine education or promotion has gone into low-income countries, Omer contended. What do we expect that we would have to do is drop vaccines off at an airport, do a photo op, and people will come running to the airport and grab a vaccine? Now, Richard, it's something interesting here in this, and we're going to go to phones in a minute. And let me go back to that. It says South Africa is the most vaccinated country on the continent, and only 36% of the people are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
According to the New York Times, only 10% of the eligible population in Africa has received at least one dose of a vaccine, compared to 64% of North America and 62% of Europe. Only 10% of the country, and it's billion. Africa is the most populated continent next to China on the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Only 10% of the people are vaccinated. Now, here's the last article, and it's very interesting. I'd like the listening audience to really listen to this, and you can pull it up. I'll make sure that I put that in the chat room or whatever, how people can get this article. And there's others dealing with this also, but I'm going to read this one here. This comes from ABC News. The header says, "A scientist mystified as Africa avoids COVID disaster." It says, when the coronavirus emerged last year, health officials feared the pandemic would sweep across Africa, killing millions and destroying the continent's fragile health system. Earlier this week, Zimbabwe recorded just 33 new COVID-19 cases and zero deaths. In line with recent fall in the disease across the continent, where the World Health Organization data shows that infections have been dropping since July. When the coronavirus emerged last year, health officials feared the pandemic would sweep across Africa, killing millions, although it's still unclear what the COVID-19's ultimate toll will be. That catastrophic scenario has not materialized in African countries. Scientists emphasize that obtaining accurate COVID-19 data, particularly in African countries with patchy surveillance, is extremely difficult, and warn that declining coronavirus trends could easily be reversed. But there is something mysterious going on in Africa that is puzzling scientists, says Wafa El Sadir, and I know I'm butchering that name, chair of global health at Columbia University. Africa doesn't have the vaccines and the resources to fight COVID-19 that they have in Europe and the U.S., but somehow they seem to be doing better, she says. Fewer than 6% of people in Africa are vaccinated, for months, the World Health Organization has described Africa as one of the least infected regions in the world in its weekly pandemic reports. Some researchers say that the continent's younger population is the reason. In addition, lower rates of urbanization and tendencies to spend time indoors may have spared it from more lethal infections of the virus so far. Several studies are probing whether there might be other explanations, including genetic reasons or past infections with other parasitic diseases. On Friday, researchers in Uganda says that they found COVID-19 patients with very high rates of exposure to malaria were less likely to suffer severe disease or death than people without a history of that disease. We went into this project thinking that we would see higher rates of negative outcomes in people with a history of malaria infections, because that's what we've seen in patients co-infected with malaria and Ebola, says Jane Akin, a senior research advisor at the Malaria Consortium. We were actually quite surprised to see the opposite, that malaria may have protected the people. Akin said that this may suggest that past infections with malaria could blunt the tendencies of people's immune systems to go in overdrive when infected with COVID-19. The research was presented on Friday at a meeting of the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. It's not always money. Devin Sadir, chair of the Global Public Health at the University of Edinburgh, said African leaders haven't gotten the credit they deserve for acting quickly, citing Mali's decision to close borders before COVID-19 even arrived. I think there's a different culture in Africa and a different cultural approach, where these countries have approached COVID-19 with a sense of humility because they've experienced such things like Ebola and malaria, says Sadir. The World Health Organization shows that deaths in Africa make up just 3% of the global total in comparison of death in the Americas and Europe that account for 46 and 29%. Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, the government has recorded nearly 3,000 deaths so far among 200 million people. The U.S. records that many deaths, excuse me, the U.S. records that many deaths in 2 or 3 days. The impact of the coronavirus has also been relatively muted in other countries beyond Africa, like Afghanistan, where experts predicted outbreaks amid ongoing conflicts would be disastrous. Hasfia Amir, a 23-year-old student in Kabul, says that he hadn't seen anybody wearing a mask in months, including a recent wedding he attended alongside hundreds of guests. In his university classes of more than 20 students, you routinely see people unmasked. We haven't seen any cases of corona lately. So far, Afghanistan has recorded 7,200 deaths among 39 million people. Now, Richard, I want to go back here because this whole article is questioning. The header of the article says the scientists are mystified how Africa has avoided a COVID disaster. And it's stated about the countries there and the comparison that the deaths and the millions of people that Africa has. The World Health Organization shows that deaths in Africa make up 3% of the global total. And the United States and Europe make up 46 and 29% respectively. In Nigeria, a country of 200 million, they've only recorded 3,000 deaths. Now, one death is too many, but look at that number.
Mm-hmm.
Other African countries, they said, in fact, all over the continent, they said that this total has decreased more and more since July. Richard, here's the critical question. How is that decreasing in a continent that's only 10% of people, the whole total of African people in the continent, only 10% of them have only received one shot, according to the World Health Organization? How is it going down, Richard? Shouldn't it be some type of discussion on that among black people at least? I don't care what these Europeans, you see they trying to scramble to find out why. From this article, you see that Europeans are trying to scramble to find out why. Am I right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be some discussion among our people? Because they are brother, they're on the continent. How is this going down among them? And we're caught up here among Europeans scrambling to try to cover our face. You got black people arguing with one another about getting shots in their arm. And you got a continent full of your ancestors where it don't seem to be affecting them like that. Where's the conversation?
No.
Where is it among your leadership? You know, leadership should always direct the conversation among the people. Because I mean, it's only natural. Where is this conversation among your? All your leadership doing is telling you here to get Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, or whatever. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson shots in your arm. Your people over there ain't getting shots in their arm. Only 10% of them continent-wide have shots in their arm. So what's protecting them? You tell me.
Hey, I can't.
We're going to go to the phones here and let the people talk about, they might want to bring up other things. We got some callers here on the line. What we'll do, we'll take a brief break. And when we come back, we're going straight to the phones. You can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Oh, no, we won't go to the phones because I don't even have anything queued up. We won't go to the commercial right now. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to 267. 267?
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. I like the way you did the program. You did a potpourri, a mix. You started with, like, talking about Atlanta, why the people are running and where they're going to. You went from that to abroad and what's going on politically. You went with the virus. I like what you're doing, and I'm pretty sure that what's going on here is also going abroad. And remember that the Europeans fight two wars, one in our countries and one in this place he calls America, and one on the outside. The war that he fights in America is racism. The war that he fights out in other countries is taking the resources and brainwashing the people. So I like the connection. See, people don't, and going to other states, you know, and that's important. I like this. Is this going to be the part of the agenda in 22? Because, you know, we got, you know, how to deal with the virus, what the shot does, who's not wearing a mask. Because it's only going to carry over a couple more days. We'll be in 22, brother. You think it's going to be better than 21?
I don't know. I think we headed in a direction that the people might not want to see us headed in. I don't think the needle is headed up for this society that we live in. It's headed in a downward spiral. That's my opinion. So,
Ellie, do you think we know how to reverse it? And you know, these conversations are good. You know, you got a think tank. That's what this thing is, a black think tank, a think tank. And a lot of people are not connected to it. If you talk to them about it, they're like, I'm not concerned about Africa. I'm not, listen, as long as I wear my mask, I ain't worried about nothing else. And if I got my shot or not, the thing is that, and what's going on politically, as long as you look at television, meanwhile, you look at your window, the people that one time look like you ain't next door, they don't care about the educational system, who runs it, where it's going, you know, the economic piece, you know, when it comes to jobs. And every time you turn around, a commissioner's only here for a few. See, when you get in here, you got to do what you got to do in the league. A mayor, a state rep, a council person, you know, or union leader. You know, you can't have a union leader come into office. He owned the person. He tell him to sit in the corner. I'm running this. You know what I'm saying? Now, when he goes to jail, are they going to cut that off and tell him, you sit down running this, or are you going to run it from jail? And we got more of them coming that are, unfortunately, will be incarcerated. And what goes into that point? You see what I'm saying? And even abroad, when they betray you abroad, you know what I'm saying? Elliot, it's a vicious cycle and a circle. And it's no new tricks, though. But we don't catch on to it. We keep hitting the eyes. Black eye, blue eye, lockdown, bloody nose. It's like you get a sandwich when you punch a bag. Y'all never hardly punch back. Now, there's some people who know what's going on. There's some people that don't care. Some people that do want to go on. There's some people who rise above it. It's not enough of us to take it from the bottom to the top, to knock the top down, to stay at the top, and let the people that's bad be at the bottom and not around at all. Yeah.
So. Well, listen, I know that we have to continue to struggle. We have to teach our children about what they're up against so they can be prepared to move our people forward. Listen, whether these systems that we live under exist or not, our people are going to be here.
That's true.
We knew how to govern ourselves before we was reached, before we were forced onto these shores.
That's true.
Even so,
Your father would say he would go to the children. He always talked about saving the children. Dad always talked about that.
Well, that's what it should be about, Tim.
Because you can't do nothing with the old, man. And even the new that's coming up with the old, if you can't change them, you can't do nothing. You got to move on to the next generation that's under you.
I'll you give an example. And if you follow a lot of these things that's been going on these college campuses,
right.
And you know, at the college campus, you're between the age of 18 to 21, 22 years old.
Yep.
You see what's going on these college campuses all across the country. Our young people there that's on the, and I'm not talking about the ones that attend the HBCU, the ones that attend some of these other schools and complaining about the reception that they're getting on these college campuses from other white students, their dorms defaced. They're complaining about the education that they're receiving. So you can see that it's a whole new See, this stuff is not stopping. See, our people talk about this stuff like it's isolated folks that have done this. That's not the case. This stuff is generational. It has continued since before 1619 to 2021. And the reason it's continued, because generation after generation of the children of these people, the generation after generation of these founders and their children have propagated this system that we live under. And all of it,
right,
including the white supremacy that goes along with it. It's not going to stop. So is that our objective, or some of our people's objective, is to keep teaching our children to keep fighting this system? Keep fighting this system. Keep fighting this system. Or should we propose better ideas for our children? I mean, that's just a question.
The idea, it starts with the idea and be an example. But, Elliot, it seems like if you teach them, you want to know if they're still going to go in the wrong direction as they get older. We hope they don't flow with the wind, and we hope that they stand up to, as opposed to being blown down, and don't be flexible and go, as opposed to standing strong. That's what you hope, Elliot. You know what I'm saying? And don't always be a follower. Do some leadership. And and talk about the ones that have been successful in standing. Respect the person that's staying, male or female, in a group. Make it an army. It's all, that's what I could say, Elliot, because, I like to see a young leader. I like to see a young, I say, well, here he or she come. That's, Let's back that. And you'd be surprised. A young leader, I think we would do it. We'd back them. You know what I'm saying? You see somebody young get out there. Oh, that's what I'm talking about, Ed. That's what I'm talking about, Richard. Let's come on. Let's get that stay behind them. It's hard to find. Maybe out here, we got to cultivate it. We can catch it.
And that's the thing. We got to cultivate it. Because this system that we live under don't want to see leadership that you're talking about. They want to see leadership that they agree to, that they sanction.
That's right. They cultivate it. And they cultivate that wrong stuff.
Yeah, well, they
do the wrong thing.
If you're
5% that are good of us, they become a part of 85%, and the 10% is the one that sucked the blood of the 85%, the 5% who the 10% and the 85% are. See, we got to catch those that we can bring in the 5%. Some of them will come to you. Be willing to accept them, though.
Yeah, well. Let's see what happens. Richard.
We'll see you in 22. I don't know if I'm going to throw the dice yet. It's going to be different in 22. I'm going to throw the dice. I ain't no gambler. I don't want to lose. I got to check it out first.
Richard.
Yeah, I'm a cynic, but an eternal optimist. I do see the Renaissance occurring. I do see that generation. I do see them. You know, I see the 20-something having questions. May not be they're searching, and I see the 30-something that have put in the time, and they're looking for the support. I think that I see those the 50s and 60s that are trying to hold on. And I ain't saying trying. But holding on in relationship for those who are continuously learning, but trying to continuously redevelop, reconnect those systems that they put in place when they were 20 and 30. I see that that's there, and it's a question of creating that we moving together and being able to listen and not listen and advise and really communicate with each other, but you got to be in each other's space. I see right now everybody's in their own space. There's few that can cross spaces, but intentionally. And those who are older, they may not. We have to learn how to listen and communicate without turning off, without preaching, without directing, and the ones who are younger have to learn how to listen and take the, not to take the example as a telling more than as this was what's done, and then bring up the ideals of what needs to be corrected. So the same thing as they're going through won't happen again. And I see them, we're all moving in this space, but these guys, their role, these guys, I'm saying, the system and white nationalists, because you see these white nationalists ain't got no problem in getting together. They ain't got no problem in getting together. And we see what you were saying, Elliot, about the political machinery. They ain't got no problem in creating policies, whether to give Mexicans or whatever, immigrants the right to vote, or what's that, driver's license, or agreeing that, rightfully, whatever, to give them 40,000 or that amount of thousand, they don't have no problem at the same time redistricting to be able to secure their political space. That's what we're up against. But I see that the young ones know it, and we know it. And we're trying to, as you say about the think tank, we're talking through it, like just with this corona, you said about, like, we talking through it, asking the critical question. How is it a whole continent that didn't take the shot is doing better than the most advanced country where they got at least 60% of the people taking the shot? How is that so? They got to ask that question. We got to ask that question.
And that should be one of the, but listen, if this pandemic is as serious as some black people talk about that it is, and it is serious, it's very serious, that should be one of the most, that should be on the top and the most pressing thing that our people here should be really considering, and forcing some of these dumbass do-nothings that's supposed to be leadership to find out. If you don't know why, find out. Some of that money, you stuff it in your pocket and all that other stuff. Send somebody to the continent to talk with some of the doctors there and see what they're doing to help protect their people. Go among some of your people. Find out what's going on. You got a continent with millions of people. Listen, Nigeria alone has almost half of the people that this United States has, according to population.
And believe me, in Nigeria, those nations, those ethnic nations, they in serious conversation about their political system to the point where they're talking about creating the Yoruba want their own nation, the Igbo want their own nation, the Hausa want their own nation. You know what I mean? They are in serious conversation about their political machinery, and they're learning the history of the past history of the wars, the internal fights to try to resolve that their incompetency of their elected officials in dealing. And even in spite of that, if I'm listening to what you're saying, using this here corona, in spite of that, when there's supposed to be a global pandemic, a virus, and Ebola was bad on the continent. It was bad on the continent. It wasn't bad here. I mean, I remember seeing the images.
And Richard, in spite of all that, what you're saying, them trying to nail out differences, and they trying to nail out differences with the interference of Europe and the United States.
Exactly.
But of all of that, they still have some uniformity to how they're approaching this virus. It's clear that they do.
And you know, one big one that I keep hearing, whether it be the Francophone countries or the English countries, they saying they don't trust the Western powers.
Well, then evidently they're trusting something, Richard, because the virus has been dropping. According to the World Health Organization, since July, the numbers of infections and even the numbers of infections that there is tremendously lower. Only 3% of global deaths is attributed to the continent. But you got white folks scratching their head talking about, what is the mystery? What is it? You ain't scratching your head. It's white folks scratching theirs. So what's wrong with that picture?
And we look on the other side where on the islands where Cuba is creating their own, and they can, their rate isn't high, and they're creating their own vaccine.
Exactly.
And here, and the thing is,
but all we know is AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Johnson, and admonishing one another. And I'm talking about black folks, your family arguments, and all that stuff over people that don't get shots in their arms, and you don't know what's going on globally among people that look like you. There's something wrong with that picture.
And we ain't not moving. The only thing is, those few people where, you know, Brother Tim was raising, who are out there, we're not, as a people, whether it be Philadelphia, Chicago, Georgia, we're not operating and moving as a people. We're talking about we're Democrat. We're Republican. We're this, we're that.
Well, wait a minute, Richard. Before we go to break, you just stated at the beginning of this program how these Europeans and ones that look like them is operating, moving as one. They did a simulation about banks failing, right?
Right.
And all those nations you named, beside a couple of satellites of European governments, is European-based.
There you go. And they protecting themselves.
And their own interests. Exactly. But you ain't supposed to protect yourself. You're an American. What's the name saying in that clip? I'm an American. You remember what he said in that? In fact, I should play that during break. Let me play that during the break. That's important because it kind of goes along with our subject matter this evening. I'm going to play that during the break. That's great. We can hear our elders say it. I don't have to repeat what he says. We can hear his words saying it. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we continue the conversation. You can get involved. By dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Freestyle Friday. We'll be right back.
For an awakening, time for an awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Escape the digital plantation. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store are here for you. You are ready to be free of non-African social media. Don't run from danger, run to safety. Abibitumi.com is here for you. You are ready to be free of digital plantations to control your own products. Abibitumi.store is here for you. ABIBITUMI, Black Power, ABIBITUMI. The only word you need to know to join your global Commits You Black family, to join your interconnected Commits You Black communities. Escape the digital plantation now. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store. We are here for you. Escape the digital plantation.
I am an African. The death of my brother is also my death. Let me put this question to you again, because many foolish black middle classes and many foolish people who are eating well think that they can sit in America and watch this country destroy the African continents, and watch this country destroy African Caribbeans, and watch this country destroy Africans in Central and South America, and think that these same people who destroy Africans abroad will not be the same people who destroyed them in America. There are fools in this country who try to claim that they are not Africans, who claim that they do not see color, as if their not seeing color makes any difference in the world. Simply because you don't see color doesn't mean somebody does not see you as color. And that's the issue. And you think then that you can sit in this country while this same nation and these same people that you sleep with and marry and love and so forth can go out and destroy African people and not think those people do not see you as African. Even though you choose not to see yourself as African, you'd better think again. You're out of your minds and you're headed for death. You must understand that. Hide behind it. I'm an American. Ladies and gentlemen, the death and destruction of black people will follow those kind of abstractions.
Probably the next 5 or 10 years will indicate whether or not the black man can survive. Our struggle for survival is a very real struggle, and the white man has prepared genocide for black people. Unemployment, the black man is no longer necessary. Unemployment is going to be a way of life for black people. We are going to face increasing dangers and problems as the days pass, and we're totally unequipped as black people to deal with them. We're a part of a slave culture. We have no preparation. We have no black institutions capable of dealing with white racist institutions designed to serve only white people. We must deal with the problem that confronts black people by building black institutions, by understanding that only a separatist position is a viable position for black people. Any organization or any leader in America who today advocates integration is a foe and an enemy of black people and their survival in the coming years.
In this crooked game of power politics here in America, the Negro, namely the race problem, integration, civil rights issue, are all nothing but tools used by the whites who call themselves liberals against another group of whites who call themselves conservatives, either to get into power or to retain power. Among whites here in America, the political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties cross party lines to work together toward the same goal. And white conservatives from both parties do likewise. The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 9:46 here on Freestyle Friday. And you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Let's go back to the phones. 302, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How y'all doing tonight?
Great.
All right. That article, the big mystery on how the members are going down. You can create members if you own the labs, because it's all based on spin cycles. So if you ramp up the spin cycles, if you had any kind of coronavirus in your life, they can find it. So if they want to bump up the numbers, they just, you know, bump up the spin cycles. They can get the desired numbers to get the desired results. And the reason it's going down in Africa, because I think they took notice, which we should too, because we say we want to unite. When prominent leaders were killed, possibly by NATO and the World Health Organization, because they proved the test was a fraud. So maybe people on the continent took notice of that. They were like, if that secret was worth killing for, I need to kind of, you know, take notice. So maybe that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah.
And I tell you something peculiar.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not following you. Have something to do with what?
The fact that they're not taking that jab, and the reason their numbers are low because their labs are doing the proper type of testing and not finding this imaginary corona in the first place.
Well, so, I don't know. I mean, it's clear that it's not imaginary. But well, but wait a minute. You said their lab. But what I'm saying is, our people there on the continent is doing something to protect themselves. We don't know. I mean, we have got reports on what some of the things are. I think Malawi released some of the things as far as their COVID. What was it called, Richard?
The herb that they're using.
Yeah, the concoction, and I'll do that for lack of a better term, what they were using. I think Kenya had one that they was using. So it's nations on the continent that have things, you know, just because they found that whatever it is dealing with these vaccines is false, they're still doing something. They're just not walking around not protecting themselves, and we don't know what it is. And right. It should be well known among our people here, how our people there are protecting themselves, because that's what it's all about. I don't care where you live at on this earth, you need to protect yourself because this is real.
Yeah. And I'll work with you on that. But
I mean, you don't think it's real? I'm just a question.
I absolutely know it's not.
Okay. Okay.
And people are confusing Ebola and COVID. See, Ebola is a parasite. It actually will jump from host to host. It'll survive in water. A virus will not. We catch viruses. We're exposed to viruses on a 24/7 basis. Now, the difference would be if I'm eating pork chops and drinking Coca-Cola and eating chips and Doritos, all that, well, I'm gonna get sick. Not from one particular virus, but probably from a couple. So, like, viruses, you don't just catch in the air. You know what I mean? Like, you don't catch it. You create the conditions where it can thrive. Now, Ebola, now, that's different. That's a parasite. It will grab hold of you and do everything it can to survive. And then another peculiar thing I look at is prior to corona, in an average year, and I'm going to give you low numbers, 500,000 people died every year because of medical, we'll call them mistakes. That's 500,000 people a year just based on medical mistakes. Now, where did that number go? Because if you look at the corona numbers, they're nowhere near 500,000. So my theory is this. Since they started people losing access to medical facilities, you know, because of the hysteria and not being able to go to the doctor like they used to, I think they're living longer because they're not seeing doctors. Any comments on that?
Who is living longer because they're not seeing doctors?
People with medical insurance.
You talking about here or on the continent?
Yeah. No, here in this country. on average, $500,000 a year based on medical mistakes. Now, these are people that can afford medical insurance. So that number has disappeared all of a sudden. But the corona numbers are nowhere near 500,000. And that's odd to me. And then my last point is, a mask, it's temporarily protected from water droplets. But at the same time, you shouldn't wear it longer than 10 minutes because just like the other end of it, when you breathe, they're breathing out the poisons that your body wants to expel. If you keep breathing that back in, it can't be good for you. I'll give you an example. If you just take a blanket and put it over your head, and you'll notice that it becomes hard to breathe. It's the same scenario. So a diaper on your face, a diaper on your booty, I mean, you can't, it's not healthy.
Okay, brother, I mean, that's your opinion. I don't necessarily agree with everything you said, but, you know, that's your opinion.
No, you can, like, because you said you wanted to have Dr. Leem and Professor Jefferson and Dr. Solomon. There's just things you could run by them. I mean.
No, well, you can call up because it's open line, so you can raise it, and they'll kind of clear it up, you know, because there are airborne viruses out here. This virus seems to be airborne, and it can get airborne. Just like if you're in your house with your wife, and if you got children, and you got a cold, your wife and your children, it's a good chance they're going to have it. Why? Because you're in the house, you're going to sneeze, you're going to be drinking stuff. It's happened. A cold will probably run through your house because it's airborne. It's an airborne virus.
And my experience has been different.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem.
Right, because I have children, grandchildren. My nieces and nephews have children. They're here all the time. If one of them sniffling and sneezing, it has no effect on me. So, and now if we share saliva, if they cough in my face or I drink behind them, that's different because that's actually how it can be spread, but not—I don't think through the air. I don't know.
Well, okay. I'm glad that you said that because you'll hear something different from the experts that come on. I'm glad that you said I don't know.
Right. This is that's why I started off with, like, it's just curious to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm not going to keep the line. I thank y'all for letting me speak.
Hey, thank you for your opinions, brother. And they'll be on within the next couple of weeks. In fact, if you you get an opportunity, go to the website and you can pull up some of the podcasts when they were on. And they talk about it in detail.
Yes, I heard. Oh, one other question. I went on the website to make a donation. I don't have PayPal. Is there any other method?
You know what? We're in the process now of kind of changing things on the site. Hopefully by this week, by the week being out, by next Sunday, everything will be kind of ship-shape on this site. So just if you want to deal with something, just hold off a little while, and I'll kind of let you know when things are back up because things are being switched around right now on the site.
All right, cool. Appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate the offer.
Talk to you. Let's go to 267. 267?
Hey, good evening, Elliot. Good evening, Richard. Interesting conversation, man. You know, and you know what? The brother, I'm listening to his opinion, and everybody has them, man. Like, when this thing first hit, my wife and I know for a fact she had it when it first hit. Because when we even went to the MedExpress, they took a sample and everything. They said, well, it's not influenza. And she said she never felt like that before in her life. The thing about it, I was in the bed with her every night while she was suffering like that. And I didn't have a I didn't have any symptoms. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about this thing. Another report just came out. I believe I emailed it to you. More and more studies are being shown that this is a disease of vitamin D deficiency. The people that suffer with it the most are vitamin D deficient. They're not really putting that out there. I was listening to a program that comes out of Washington, D.C., and I noticed how that brother stopped having the Dr. Leems on, the Dr. Scott Whitakers, and, you know, people giving you alternative methods. But then I started listening to his advertisers. Pfizer has a advertisement on that station. I said, there it goes. The one up here, the local station up here, Penn Medicine, has an advertisement on that station. That way they can keep this same sinister information flowing, man. The thing about it, I just watched the video that was put out by, Ayo Kamathi, Irritated Genie. And they show what's in this vaccine. Now, I heard the brother before me talk about Ebola and parasites. That why you think the people on the island, on the continent aren't suffering? First of all, it's black wormwood that they're taking. Black wormwood is anti-parasitic. Hydrochloroquine is anti-parasitic. Ivermectin is anti-parasitic. What is going on? In this video, they showed where a parasite is actually in this vaccine, man. And, if you look at it, they said the states with the lowest numbers of coronavirus in this country and where it's going down rapidly, the five states, those are the five states where people are hardly vaccinated. So they're now saying this is a pandemic of the vaccinated. Why? Because that stuff messes with your immune system and try to boost it up for whatever reason. I still don't believe that. You know, I got my personal beliefs about that. But what it does, it messes with your natural God-given immune system. So after this stuff wears off, what's up with your immune system? You have acquired immune deficiency. Now, I want to talk to Professor Jefferson about that because I think I asked him that question before. But this disease, that vaccine is deadly. And now you got the Moderna CEO saying, well, our vaccines are ineffective against these variants out here now. Now, he's telling you that it don't work. This is the CEO of Moderna, but he says we have another one that we're strengthening up, and it should be coming out in another 100 days. So that's more shareholders' money. Man, this thing is so sinister to where they're playing with people's lives that it's pathetic, man. And there's so much information out there, but I'm gonna say this. I went to my doctor retired. I went to another doctor. And, the doctor told me, if you want me to be your primary care, you're going to have to get vaccinated. So I showed him my negative PCR test because I don't want to spread this stuff. I showed him my negative PCR test. I said, here's my negative test. Yeah, but our policy is you have to be vaccinated. I said, so a vaccinated person can walk up here sick, but a person that's not vaccinated, that has nothing, can't come in your office. That makes absolutely no sense to me. That's like me, you're saying to me, I got my measles shot, but I don't want you to get next to me because you didn't get your measles shot. Yet you don't have the measles. What the hell is wrong with these people, man? Has everybody lost their cotton-picking minds? This thing is like a big experiment. And then, you know, and reminded me, I told my wife, she's a little bit younger than me. I told my wife, I said, you got to see this movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers, because I've never seen nothing like this. People who I used to admire, I used to respect. I look at them now like, damn. Oh, man, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? What is the problem here? And I know fear does things to people. And if you look at that stuff that comes on these local news networks every night, yeah, of course. And if you believe what's coming to you through those local news, of course you're going to be scared and programmed to do anything to stop what they're promoting. You know, I work in hospitals. Now, I heard what you said about the other day. I work in hospitals. I go in out of them. I don't see nobody dying in the hallways or people panicking, pushing people in. And, you know, everybody's walking around like it's another day at the. So, I mean, the information that they're pushing on. And I heard the brother, the prior caller, you know, check out the Neil Ferguson model. It's a computerized data center where it's telling you, and John Hopkins has their own too, they're telling you how many people are going to get the virus, how many people are going to get the Omicron, whatever that, how you pronounce it, when it's going to come in this country, how many people are going, a computer's telling you this. if this isn't the Matrix, I don't know what is, man. So I can't wait for you to get some health professionals out here, because our people are mentally beat up, man. They're beat up. They're messed up. But the concoction that a lot of those folks are using on it is black wormwood. Now, you had Dr. Burton on a few months ago. Dr. Burton was the first one that I went to back in the 90s. And the first thing Dr. Burton said, we got to get rid of the parasites. And he put you on black wormwood and something else. I can't remember what that other thing was. But that is what they're using on the continent, and it's anti-parasitic. And it's working. I think they call hydroxychloroquine in one of those countries, it might be Ghana, they call it the Sunday drug. They take it every Sunday because of malaria. So those things that they've been using, they don't need to stick their stuff with monkey crap, which is in the J&J, or this mRNA that messes with your DNA and digs itself in your cell to create some kind of artificial spike protein and all this garbage. You know, people say, like, why are you on? Look, I'm not taking it because I'm not a lab rat. I'm not a lab rat. You're not going to expect, they said it's experimental it's experimental drugs. I'm not a lab rat. And you're not going to experiment on me. You know what I mean? But I know some of us, we face expulsion from our companies and stuff like that, and they were forced to take it. I feel sorry for a couple of my relatives that told me, and they were forced. I know another sister that worked for Amtrak. She was forced to take this stuff. It can't be good for us anytime they're forced, and you're still catching it. It don't work. So, you know, man, we need these brothers. We need Dr. Scott Whitaker. We need Professor Jefferson. We need Dr. Burton. We need these people that can give us alternative ways to combat this stuff, because it is out here. It's out here, but I don't think it's as severe as they say. Matter of fact, they even had some South African doctors saying that they don't know what the hype is, because this new variant, you know, is basically like a head cold. So what's the hype? The hype is they want to push these booster shots now, because they know those other things that they gave these poor people 6-7 months ago don't work. So, you know, it's just them covering up their tracks, man. So, you know, I just had to call in because I get frustrated. I get very frustrated seeing these black twin doctors feed our people all this garbage every week up here. Sound like a cartoon network. You know, I get sick of this stuff, man. I get really sick of it. And people think just because they have a black face that they're to be trusted. No, these people are getting bonuses and protecting their income. So, and they're all reading from the same script, including the doctor I just saw this week. The same exact script. And it's like, what, you're going to keep telling me this until I be programmed like you? You know, this stuff is getting me angry. And I'm just going to keep taking my supplements. And if I catch it, I catch it. But everybody I know that catch it that was not vaccinated, and I'm talking about my circle of friends. Matter of fact, the ones that aren't that's not vaccinated aren't catching it. It's the ones that are vaccinated. This is my circle that I know, contractors that I know. It's the ones that are vaccinated that are still catching this stuff, man. But yet they're the ones that told, oh, you don't have to wear a mask if you come in here. But they changed that tune because now they realize that's all a farce. You got to get your booster and all this other garbage, man. So I just had to get that junk off my chest because our black media is selling us out. They're selling us out with a bunch of garbage, just like they sold us out with that damn Biden. You know, they all pushed them. Oh, you must, you know, they don't trust your black media because all they are is a bunch of handkerchief heads, man, chasing that dollar. So, you know, it's a shame, brothers. You know, so programs like this, anybody listening, you got to support it because it gives you an alternative view than what you're getting from the boob tube, from your local radio news sources, from black faces on these local media. It gives you another view to at least give you a chance to not be programmed like I'm seeing, man. So, like I said, man, that movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you can look at it. It's so many similarities, man, that, you know, I just can't believe it. I got to watch again. I want my wife to watch it because this stuff is happening as we sleep. It's happening. And if you stay asleep, they got you. So that's all I have, man, and a good program. Glad you guys were in open forum so some of us can vent about stuff that really bothers us.
So. Thanks for your contribution. All right,
all right. All right. I'll be talking to you.
Peace.
All right. Take care.
Let's go to 215. 215.
Brother Elliot.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Richard. How y'all brothers doing tonight?
Good.
All right.
Praise be to Allah. You know, Brother Ralph said a lot what I was, you know, thinking just now, too. And also, and I like what Brother Ralph said too about supporting the station. Like I said, I've been promising you, Brother Elliot, I'm gonna finally deliver. I'm gonna, you know, make a donation to Time for the Wicked and program within the next week or so. Inshallah, I'm gonna definitely do that. Put my money where my mouth is at. And I owe, like I said, I owe Brother Tim and Brother J a call. I'm definitely gonna call them brothers. Hopefully by this weekend, because my weekend kind of light on Sunday, so I hope I can get a chance to call Brother Tim and Brother Jay and talk to those brothers. You know, Elliot, before, because I want to, you know, go back, I wanted to, you know, kind of like dissect a lot what Brother Ralph was saying, because like he's echoing my sentiments. You know, when you talk about white brotherman, Elliot, that's the term, that's the term you like to say a lot of times, how the Europeans, they were their brethren. Well, you saw that today, or yesterday, I guess it is yesterday and today, you know, with the late Senator Bob Dole, as you know, he made transition, right, Elliot?
Mm.
And Richard, the other day. And Bob Dole was one of those kind of guys. He was if you're a political animal, if you will, he would be described as a moderate conservative, if you will. He wasn't bombastic like a Donald Trump or come across like a slime ball like a George Bush or Ronald Reagan, but nevertheless, he was a white conservative. You know how they abused, but how desperately they deal with people of color and stuff. The one good thing, Bob, though, he was, I guess, because he was a war veteran, he was, and he seen how people was, because he got hurt in the war, he helped create the American with Disabilities Act, which was good for people that, you know, was disabled, whether it was disabled through war or accidents or whatever like that, they could get treated with the respect that they do from employers. And he was about strengthening Social Security, which a lot of people in this country, you know, depend on for their income after they retire and stuff like that. Now, I bring Bob Dole up for this reason alone, Elliot and Richard, because what you saw at his funeral at the cathedral in Washington and at the other place they had it, you saw both sides of the aisle there. You saw Republicans as well as Democrats there and stuff. So it all goes back to what Brother Malcolm said. You know, these people, at the end of the day, they're not enemies. Now, I noticed when I watched the crowd, Elliot and Richard, what I saw, I'm sure maybe it was some blacks there. I didn't see one black politician there. I saw all Bob Dole's white brothermen from both sides of the aisle there. You know what I mean, Elliot and Richard? So I'm saying to myself, I said, these people, I said, they not no enemies with each other for real, man. And like you said, Elliot, I think, Elliot, you made it, said yourself the other week, the one of the white guys said that, hey, they're not my enemy. He's my opponent. Whereas black politicians get so caught up in that Democrat, they call people their own brothers the enemies and all that stuff like that. But you don't hear the white boys calling each other enemies. They say, that's my opponent. So that's why when you seen Bob Dole's homegoing service, you saw white men and white men from both sides of the aisle paying their respects to him. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I mean, they just show how people, that should be a lesson, how people, these white folks not hating on each other. We get so caught up in that. They're not hating on each other. That's it. And then, like I said, you normally after they had a little heated sessions on Capitol Hill, the Mitch McConnells and the Bob Bradys of the world, they go out together. It's no common knowledge. They go out together for cocktails and dinner with their wives and all that stuff. So they're not really enemies in the sense that we think they are. They're still their white brother. They may have this little so-called political differences, but they're still their brother. You know what I mean? So, you know, we don't want to get so bent out of shit about that Republican-Democrat foolishness, you know. But anyway, Ellen and Richard, Brother Ralph, yeah, I mean, Brother Ralph said the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which is a good movie, but also, too, the movie that Dr. Burton had me see several years ago, called Vaxxed. And the white guy that was the creator of Vaxxed, a documentary about vaccines, he was on a white station about a week or two ago, and he was saying about how, you know, it's sending the as well as Robert Kennedy Jr., who's the son of the late, you know, Senator Robert Kennedy of the Kennedy political dynasty. Well, anyway, both Robert Kennedy Jr. and this, I can't think of this guy's name. Dr. Burton told me his name. I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. Anyway, both of these gentlemen said that Anthony Fauci should be in jail. They said he's a criminal and a murderer. He should be locked up and the key thrown away. I mean, this guy, I mean, see, that's where you get, like you said, Elliot, how misinformation, Elliot and Richard, is dangerous to our people and stuff. It's like, the late Reggie Bryan used to always say, not what you know, is what you know that ain't so that gets you in trouble. And like Dick Gregory said, information is powerful when you got the right information. Some of our people, Elliot and Richard, and this, there lies the danger. And this all goes back, Brother Elliot, like you said, about this black leadership. If they just get off their ass and stop stuffing their pockets and educate our people, they will know who the real Anthony Fauci is. And matter of fact, Robert Kennedy Jr. just got a book out called The Real Anthony Fauci, the real Dr. Anthony Fauci. It shows just who this guy is. He's a racist. And let the record show, he has experimented and used black children as guinea pigs in many of his experiments over the years. I mean, this guy's about him and Bill Gates. They're about depopulation of people of color, especially black people. But you got these Negroes on terrestrial radio, as well as just sorry-ass black leadership, promoting Fauci like he's some kind of vanguard for the black community. When this guy wanted to take you off the planet, if you had his way, you'd be off this planet right now, you know? And it's a shame that only the final call and people like Dr. Aleem and others, Dr. Burton and others, point these things out, but they're not getting no play in the major media because they shut out. They don't, you know, the only play they're going to get is on terrestrial radio. I mean, not terrestrial, but on shows like yours and maybe blackagendareport.com. And I, if I heard what Brother Ralph said correctly, they've been putting pressure, I guess, on our brother up in D.C., you know, but he's been kind of limited right now. So, I mean, you see what's going on. You see the knives coming out right now, you know. They want to continue to push the Falkies of the world. And now, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, what's the white girl, Rochelle Walensky? I mean, all these people in cahoots with each other, man. They all pushing that stuff on our people, man. Her and all that rest of that ilk and everything, you know. And that's why shows like this are so important to get our truth out to our people, man, because like Ralph said, this vaccine It's making people sick. It's killed out of tons of people when it didn't have to be that way. And that's what the white guy that did the thing about vax. He said right on a white station a week ago. He told the host of the show. He said George. He said the sad part about it. He says is that if this government that we live under wasn't so wicked, he says a lot of these deaths could have been avoided by just taking stuff like ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, vitamin D. Like Ralph said, a lot of it's because people are vitamin D deficient. He said vitamin D, zinc, elderberry. He said the American people had been given that by these physicians. He said you wouldn't have all these deaths. All these people died for nothing. He said all because, like Ralph said, the greed of this racist country, greed, capitalism, they're stuffing their pockets. And like you say, they fighting each other over the vaccine. You got the Modernas, the AstraZenecas, the Johnson & Johnsons, Pfizer. These people just fighting each other to make sure they get their vaccine out, their booster shot out, because it's all about a money grab. They could give a damn that it's killing people, making people sick. They could care less. They're all about the money. And I'll close with these last couple of comments. And what's so sad, Brother Ellen Rich, and I've said this on terrestrial radio, and sometimes it falls on deaf ears, but it is what it is. I just, for the life of me, and this is why I felt what Brother Ralph was saying just now, because Ellie, I don't want to say these people's names over the air, but you know, people that I had respect for, I didn't realize they was that damn stupid or dumb. I hate to use that term. These were black folks, male and females, Ellen Richard, that I thought I had respect for, to have some common sense. They became so pro-vaccine. I don't know whether, like Ralph said, they're doing that. I don't know what the case, but they sound stupid, man. See, certain Negroes are always expected to talk crazy, but some brothers and sisters I thought was Afrocentric, pro-black, is, I mean, I don't know what, you know, and yet they sign with this white man pushing his vaccine on black folks. I mean, you know, it's just a sad commentary, man. I'm like, Ralph, I wonder if these people lost their minds. And that's for the life of me, Ellen Richard. I just can't understand how black folks, of all people, I mean, people of color, period, whether they Native American, indigenous people, Puerto Ricans, Asians, whatever. I don't know how any person of color could trust, but especially our people knowing the history, what our people have had with white folks, as far as definitely with the medical situation, the experiments, the Henrietta Lacks, the Tuskegee's, I mean, the Move family, the white boy up at Penn who the black students got, made him take his name off their scholarship at Penn. There was experimenting on our black brothers and stuff that was behind the walls and up there at Holmesburg or whatever. So, I mean, we got case after case, and it just belies the question of Brother Ellen Richard, how the hell is black folks, of all people, so damn trusting these people with the history, man? They're the ones pushing this vaccine on our people more than white folks is, man. I mean, I just can't understand how you can be so trusting these people when they've showed you time and time again they don't give a damn about your health or your welfare. That's the stuff that boggles my mind. You know what I mean? I mean, if you want to follow, even if you wanted to be stupid or gullible enough to take the vaccine, that's you're a grown person. But the fact that you sprouting the company line, that you pushing this stuff, and you saying that Dr. Fauci is somebody to be respected, and you can trust him, and this and his other Europeans that they're talking that stuff. I mean, I just want to say how black folks that I thought had some common sense and some sense of consciousness could be pushing that stuff on our people, man. That's the stuff that boggles my mind, L.A. Ricky. You know, so. You know, yeah. It is what it is, you know. So I just thank you, Ellie and Richard, for letting me speak. I get off and you know, let somebody else get on. But put me on mute, Brother Ellie. But again, good show tonight, man. You and Brother Richard, y'all keep doing what you're doing because, again, like Brother Dick Gregory, our ancestor, says, information is powerful, brother. Make no mistake about it. Information is powerful.
Thanks for your contribution, bro.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
Right. Let's go to 646-646.
Hey, what's happening, Richard and Elliot? I know it's late, man. I'm going to make this kind of quick. Earlier this evening, man, I heard you mention something about Stacey Abrams.
No. Well, I mean, I didn't. Maybe Richard.
No, not tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, because you heard that she's running for governor, and this is supposed to help Warnock get reelected when here it is, all of the shenanigans that's going on in Atlanta. They think that these Negroes are going to be able to pull it out for. You know, it was like I was trying to say to Carl earlier today before he cut me off about this whole thing of democracy, voter rights, and how we just basically have been used by the Democratic Party. And in return, they'll let one of the so-called staunchest supporters, man, work harder for the Democratic Party than he worked probably for his own family to get this bastard, this senile fool, Joe Biden, elected. In the process, Joe Biden don't even have the decency, listen to the word clearly, decency to sit down and have a meeting and discuss with him what's going on with this whole voter rights bill. You know what I mean? Or the filibuster or anything else. And even more disrespectful is he won't even send nobody to do his show, to talk to the people who put him in office. It's just, at what point in time are we going to say the hell with the Democratic Party and figure out something to do something to save ourselves? You know what I mean? Because the reality is, man, Kamala Harris, always remember this, she was the first one in the running for the presidency, if I'm not mistaken, to drop out because she couldn't get no real traction. So where, how do you think now basically she's going to get any traction and that black folks are going to support her? She don't have the charisma of Puff the Magic Negro, nor is she you know, appealing to people, if the truth gonna be told. So I mean, when they start talking about her becoming the president of the United States, the only thing that'll happen is if this clown diminishing health continues to fade. Because if you look at him the last week or so, his health don't look too good, bro. You know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, the whole reality is this. What are we going to do? What are we doing? What are we doing to prepare ourselves for the situation that looks like it's coming into play? Because, you know, the thing that gets me the most is, and I try to tell this to people all the time, white people are going to do everything in their power to protect power and whiteness. I mean, do you really think that if Donald Trump got back into office, that white people on the Democratic side would be all of that upset that are so-called in leadership that have so-called position? They're not going to lose their white privilege because of him.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, the thing that gets me is you absolutely, a stout raving blind idiot could see that the man is a disaster for the country. I can't think of what he's really did for the country, you know, other than basically hoodwink and brainwash and bamboozle the population into believing that he's done something. I mean, it's really, if you sit back and you look at it, it's really crazy, man, how you allow a person of no moral character, no real intelligence, to basically use code words and other things to dupe you into accepting someone who is blatantly an idiot. I mean, it's just amazing. And then on top of that, you got a whole situation here where, like they were talking earlier about this virus, that we're so arrogant that we can't even sit down and talk to other nations who are not even having the type of problems that we're having with the virus to figure out what are they doing. You know, because you got these three pharmaceutical companies that it seems that are making all of this money or setting it up to make more money.
Well, you can see that they don't want to. You know, some of these other nations that are having success around this virus don't look like Europeans. So, in essence, you are of lesser intelligence, so you don't have nothing to tell me. So they don't want to understand what other countries are doing. Or they might go through other channels to find out what they're doing. Like this article that I read, scientists are perplexed to understand, to find out why Africa is not affected like other nations. So they'll kind of backdoor to try to find out, but they don't want to sit down publicly to try to find out what other nations are doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the funny thing is, you really don't even hear anything about the success that Cuba's having. And, you know, what is the infection rates in the region and with the countries that Cuba is providing their vaccine with? You know, you don't never hear anything about that. So we really don't know what's going on in regards to that. Obi Aboon, I think, you know, he may know. I heard him, I think it was last week or the week before last, on Woman Leon's show. But, you know, what really disappoints me, and I mean, Ralph spoke about it earlier, is Carl Nelson. I mean, in the last, I would say, 4 weeks, he really hasn't had nobody on talking about the virus and alternatives to dealing with the virus. Dr. Leem hasn't been on, and like Ralph said, they get an advertisement. So you know what's most important to them. It's not me and your health. It's that advertisement dollar. Always remember that. That's a corporation. You know what I mean? It ain't like they hell bent on helping our people. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I just don't know. You know, I mean, I know people who have took the virus. And unfortunately, I always feel bad for people who have to take the virus, because if they don't take the virus, they'll lose their job. That right there is the wicked and the evilness. Because in all honesty, like Ralph said earlier, a lot of people that have taken the virus are getting sick. And I guess those that haven't taken the virus, yeah, some are getting sick, but not on the level that it was earlier. Now, it may pick up because of the season or whatever. That's why I always say, whenever I go someplace or whenever I go out in public, I just wear the mask. You know what I mean? I don't play that game with not wearing the mask. And I try to keep social distancing, and I always try to, you know, make moves when I'm not in large crowds of people. But, I mean, it's really kind of crazy when you think about what's going on and how, you know, you would think, because this is a pandemic, that nations' top scientists would really be working with one another to figure out how they can deal with this pandemic. But all it seems like in America is pushing you to take the vaccination and then to take the boosters, because their whole thing is, well, you won't die. I mean, it's just crazy, man. It's really something that we have to as a community figure out, man, because, you know, things they trying to say the economy is getting better or whatever. But the reality is a lot of things could get better, but if you don't have the right to protect your interests in the vote, and then you have a situation to where you got these sycophant Republicans in control of legislation and things of that nature, you could see what's happening. I mean, let's be honest. Just look what's happening with this whole abortion thing in Texas. Supreme Court today upheld that whole bill, that whole law, rather. Now, I mean, think about how much that's going to affect women, and it's going to trickle down to other states. And I mean, you know, we just don't get it. I don't think we really see it as something that we have to figure out as a community on how we're going to protect ourselves. because the only protection, it seems to me, that black people feel that they have is supporting the so-called Democratic Party and the Democratic Party being in a position to be our so-called savior. So I don't know, man. You know, I just hope we as a community really figure it out, because this new year is not going to be what it's cracked up to be. And you know, I don't know. Now, one last thing. I see that the sister, what's her name? The sister that was, I'm trying to think of her name right quick, that was supposedly prosecuting Trump in New York.
Oh, you're her talking name, about the, yeah. I think she was supposed to be running for governor or something, but changed her mind.
Yeah, she ran out of the race. So she doesn't want to run for the race. So if that's the case, now she should go full charge and put it on your boy. Now, I did hear that he's supposed to have a major deposition on the 7th of January, to whereby if he pleads the 5th, that may cause some problems through the civil portion, because they want him to say some things in regards to that so that they could then use it to him on the criminal portion because of the fraud that's involved. So, I mean, the thing is, they gotta do something, man. They gotta really, really indict this guy. You know, I really feel this way.
Well, she ain't gonna have no power. Listen, these black elected officials don't operate on their own. They're told what to do, but right. Whether they're Democrat or Republican. So if you see somebody running for governor, go ahead.
But she has a little power, Elliot, to put certain things in motion. But what I'm saying is this, and this is real talk. She has to do something to make it to where as he can't run for this presidency, man. Because if he runs for presidency and he wins, man, this country is going to really be downhill. Now, I personally don't give a damn. You know what I mean? But, you know, we got to take into consideration that we've got family members who still got to be here to deal on a certain level. But the thing is, yo, man, I mean, they have to put a stop to him because, I mean, he's really a menace. I mean, I can't, if ask yourself this. Have you ever seen any political person like him in our lifetime who's had the type of destructive influence over a population the way that he had? I mean, you know, let's be honest. George Bush ain't have it. His daddy ain't have it.
Saying? Listen, I don't
Reagan
see.
Reagan ain't have it.
But I don't see them as any different. The only difference with him is he was bombastic in voicing his opinions publicly. Those other guys was just as worse as him, or maybe worse. But they played a political game. They were politicians. This guy wasn't a politician. He was a quote-unquote businessman. So he wasn't a politician. Elliot. Those other guys are politicians. They ain't feel no differently than him.
No, Elliot, I agree with you. But the thing is, it's his sinister behavior and the way that he's been able to influence the public to behave like they did on January 6th. Reagan probably would have been the closest one to maybe get them to be able to somewhat react like that. But Bush wouldn't have been able to do that. His daddy wouldn't have been able to do that. No other person that I could really think of would have been able to do that. Not even Nixon. I mean, this guy has created an atmosphere in all honesty, somewhat similar to the Klan, if you think about it.
He didn't create this. This atmosphere been here.
Yeah. I know it's been here, but it's come more or less to the forefront.
You have to use your political analysis to take you back further than your own life cycle. And if you're only using your political analysis within your life cycle and talking about a right, ultra right, and you really can't even do that because when you talk about, I forget what that group was, the Christian right came up, which was a part of the Republican. They came up and had great influence. That was a populist movement. No, they didn't go on the Capitol, but they were definitely about taking control over the government. That was one of the movements. The Christian right was the guy Reed, and I think and it was another on the Republican side.
But you could talk about the Tea Party.
You could talk
about the last one would probably have been the Tea Party.
The Tea Party, right.
It hasn't had the type of destructive influence that this guy has had. The Tea Party was bad. Let's be clear on that.
But your point was this moment, because those moments set this moment, because they were frustrated about that's when the economy was shifting. Moving from the industrialization, moving more into the information, and those whites and the Tea Party and the Christian right were those, that managerial, you know, the bank servant class of whites that were living in those areas being disenfranchised from their jobs. And now we see it's their children that are a part of the opioids.
I understand that.
So Trump is not a new manifestation. Trump is not no new manifestation. He's only a
No. Trump is a more broader, a more open, a more barbaric, a more sinister manifestation.
You're dealing with the personality.
Yeah, but the personality is what creates the wickedness.
Talking about
this
group that he has galvanized.
Guy is like Jim Jones, man. The guy is like all of these.
But the point that you're making, that he's no different, and that's what I heard Elliot saying. That's why I said you have to take your historical, and that you have to take your political analysis further than our lifetime, because if we go in the 1800s, you got Andrew Jackson. You go in the turn of the century, you got Johnson. I mean,
all I'm trying to say is from Jim Crow to the manifestation of where we are today. Could you let me finish the point, please? What I'm trying to say to you is, from all of those periods of time to the manifestation of today,
That's what I'm saying. You got to provide evidence
The evidence is, what did you have the type of behavior that caused the type of destruction where a year later it's still being dealt with that happened on June 6th based on the lie?
That's what you're
not getting, bro.
Maybe you're looking on the white side of the chessboard.
Nah, my man. I'm looking at it on the perspective that this man has been able to use a lie to create an atmosphere to whereas it is absolutely to the point to whereas you don't know what may happen
but
in this country.
At the white side of the chessboard, you're looking at white people. I'm saying,
man,
I don't give a damn about white people.
But Jay, let me ask you something, Jay. But Jay, wait a minute. I want you to. Okay. Black people. If it was so serious, as you say, them running in the Capitol and damaging stuff, and if this was so serious, how come their white brethren haven't taken it that serious? How come? This is not as serious to them. You're taking it more serious than they do. They ain't taking this seriously.
No. You know why their white brethren hasn't taken it more serious or look at it in the manner in which I do it? Because it's all in the basis and the principle of what? Power and whiteness. I'm clear on that, brother.
Oh, okay. So why are you? I ain't sweating what them people are doing.
But Elliot, what I'm trying to say to you is that black people, in a sense, don't understand the danger and the implications of how that affects us as a people. They don't understand the severity.
Are you kidding? Our people know what this system is about. They've been recipients of this stuff.
Elliot, I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to say to you, brother, I'm trying to say to you that we don't see it on the level that you think we do. And the reason why I say that is, what are we doing about it? How are we protecting ourselves? What are we putting in place as a community to protect ourselves other than saying trust the Democrats? Are we putting together the necessary forces and the necessary things to, if it really gets really crazy, to protect ourselves? No, we're not, B. We're looking for the Democrats to save us, bro.
Now, wait a minute. And I don't mean to I'm going to personalize just based off of your line of reasoning, because I think people who operate out of your line of reason, which I do hear, and I do hear a lot, I do hear, you know, and even those who are saying we are American, or we're going to organize to weaponize our vote, you know, whether it be against the Democratic Party, or we're going to move down south and take over the states so that we could be able to get a governor and two senators. You can't tell me you're not hearing that. You can't tell me those things. That's from those which I would take out of your line of reasoning, who are saying that, even using where you started with Stacey Abrams, they're saying that they're putting a political machinery in that state so that even though the state, those representatives, those white representatives are trying their best to redistrict and limit the vote, they are cultivating their political machinery because of what you're saying. So you can't say black folks don't see what's going on.
Hey, bro, let me tell you something.
Yeah, you may not be involved.
Let me just say this. I don't give a damn. I'm going to tell you this straight up. I don't give a damn if Stacey Abrams become the governor or if Warnock is reelected. The reality is this. They ain't going to have no power whatsoever to stop nothing.
What power do you think that Trump gonna have? I don't give a damn about him or his ilk.
Trump is gonna have the power to influence people to cause destruction and put my family in danger.
And then what else is new? Wait a minute. What else is new? Trump ain't no new animal. Man, get out of here with that. This country's been full of Trumps.
The
leadership of this country has been full of Donald Trumps. What difference does it make if they're going to come against our people?
I agree with what you're saying.
It might make our people realize the seriousness of unifying.
There has never been a single person, Elliot,
that has had the influence.
Okay, man, come on, man. You're not looking at history. You don't know the history of this political.
Elliot, all I'm asking you is do this. Name me a person who, in the last, I'd say, 20 years.
Oh, you're going to. Okay, come on. You're talking about 20 years.
No, Elliot, I'm just asking you a question. Please listen to the question.
Ronald Reagan. Go to Ronald. Move from Ronald.
Okay, and how many years ago was Ronald Reagan?
I don't know. When he came?
Well, Ronald Reagan was around 40 years ago.
Right.
Okay. The point of the matter is that let's say it was Ronald Reagan. It took another person, based on the system that we play in, to be able to come 40 years later. To have the type of influence to cause the type of destruction Ronald Reagan never produced.
That's not true. Because if you look at what
Tell me one place. Where Ronald Reagan was able to produce what happened on June 6th. Tell me what place and one time.
What difference does it make? I don't give a damn what happened on June 6th. White folks ran in their place and busted windows and crapped on floors. Who cares?
I understand, Elliot, I respect you.
No, but
I respect you, but I disagree with you. If you don't see the significance of what happened on June 6th, we beg to differ with each other, but I respect you.
That kind of mobilization, if you was a student of history.
And I'm enough of a student of history to know the significance of what happened on June 6th.
And take the long view, you would know that those episodes of June 6th has been occurring before the Declaration of Independence.
My man. What the F do what happened before the Declaration of Independence has to do with my and my family life today, bro? In a normal civilization, in a normal society, you don't have that repeat itself hundreds of years later.
What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold it. Were you oppressed before the Declaration of Independence?
Bro, I was oppressed before, and I'm oppressed today.
What's the difference?
Okay, so the manifestation is that a society is supposed to progress to the point to where...
What society? This is a racist society. So what are you talking about?
Listen, Elliot, I respect what you're saying. Put me on mute, man.
Thanks for your contribution.
America has had the same output consideration for black folks over time that they have had for white folks.
You read last week Franklin's words in reference to black people. Do you see anything different, Franklin's words, than some of the words that Donald Trump be uttering?
No.
I don't see any difference.
You have to respect everybody's point of view. And I can hear.
So you're talking about Franklin from the earliest formations of this government until Trump was one of the latest formations. Their mentality and how they felt about you is exactly the same. I don't care about an incident about people running all up in that White House. Who cares? I'm talking about their attitudes towards you.
And Elliot, at that time, it was John Wilson who really came up with the 3/5 clause. They had a whiskey rebellion. Those poor whites came out of the hill, and it was only Franklin that had to talk them down. This ain't no new thing.
Wait a minute. If you remember during the Civil War when whites was fighting with one another, those draft riots that broke out of New York City What's the difference between that and what happened on June 6th or January 6th? Well, a lot more people got killed in those draft riots.
Right.
But other than that, it was the same principles, Richard. It was the same principles. I mean, you know better than me. You more of a history buff than I am.
That's I don't.
But I'm asking you, those draft riots that broke out in New York City.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's over. You know, when the society resources for white folks shrink, they get, because they know they're entitled to get something. When the society resources in for them, because it still be scarce for us, but for them, when it's in the buttons, they everything is fun, wonderful. You know, they Ozzie and Harriet. But when it starts to shrink, they the Sopranos or Dillinger.
Well, if you recall a couple of weeks ago, Richard, certain areas in Europe shut down again because of this spike in the virus. And their riots broke out in certain, I think in Italy, France, England, riots broke out. And it prompted Biden to have an address here the next day, saying that if things spike during the winter, that we're not going to shut down. Did you hear him say that? Now, the reason he said that is because he's already seen what happened, being that it bothered Jay. He's seen what happened on January 6th. And he knows that if they shut down society again, white folks will be running up into the White House again.
Yes.
He knows that. So he's going to quell the fears of his white brethren. He don't care nothing about you having to shut down. He don't give a damn because half of our people ain't got sufficient employment now. But he's trying to reassure the other white folks that we will not shut down. Because if they do or attempt to, you'll see more people running up in White Houses and in Harrisburg and in what's the capital of New York? Albany. You'll see them running up in a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they was about ready to do that before. If you remember, when they was contemplating shutting down, they was getting ready to run up in Harrisburg and several other state capitals. In fact, they was going to kidnap that one woman that was up there, the governor of Illinois. What was the name of that group? The Wolverine Men. They was going to kidnap that woman and do something with her, wasn't they?
Yeah. That's what I mean, you know, and I'll give them that. I think that was happening, you know, Trump was the president, but the condition is already here. But in relationship to black folks, but the thing that I want to hang myself on, because I hear this a lot in the caller's thought, there is some black folks, right? And again, even that position is historical, that think that this society is our society. And this society, you know, things that go bad or looking to go bad in this society should be better because it's better for us.
Well,
we're beneficiaries. Now, if you're saying from the black point of view, you're either saying one or two things. I live in a certain status in this caste system of black folks in this society that I'm doing okay. And even though the rest is doing bad, while when white folks is doing good, they're doing good. But when white folks is doing bad, they get ready to do bad. And still, the rest of black folks is doing bad. Because under Reagan, Bush, the whole COINTELPRO came out. Bush, the crack, the cocaine swap for you know, the beginning of crack came out. What's that boy? I need Lewinsky at my desk. Clinton. You know what I mean? The mass incarceration came out. You can't tell me that those things haven't had devastating effects on the black community.
Yeah, but
white folks was doing okay.
But I guess Trump is really the boogeyman, because he aroused he made the angry right man be more boisterous like him.
Right.
Well, I mean, when they were already, those other guys that you mentioned were politicians. So they made you think they were their friend when they laid devastating blows on the black community. That stuff that happened under Clinton, he destroyed millions of black families.
Right.
They still reeling from that type of stuff. But you have blacks of a certain class saying that Clinton was the first black president. Soon as a black person died, whether it be John Lewis, Hank Aaron, or whatever, he's at funerals, mm-hmm. giving his opinion on about what blacks should be doing, like he did at John Lewis' funeral when he stood up there and insulted black people, talking about, it was two schools of thought. During the one time, Kwame Ture, he said Stokely Carmichael. He didn't say Kwame Ture. Stokely mm-hmm. Carmichael and John Lewis. And John Lewis prevailed. Yeah, come on.
We so glad he prevailed.
But they helped him prevail. And they made sure those other men were run out, either killed or run out the country. Because COINTELPRO was all on it. It was all up in what black people was trying to do.
And in that period before him, when that 72 period, when the convention, it was that black class who really destroyed, which we haven't recovered yet, which is that 50 years. Come on, that 50 years. It was that group, that newly formed black congressional caucus, where Dix said, why should we go with these black radicals who said we should have a black independent party? That we should be anti-Zionist, that we should look towards consolidating in five states and controlling and militarily controlling that. Why should we go with them when we got this black vote who is voting for us and we're in the Democratic Party? they deliberately, what I hear that thought is, where we are now is because of that. Because if we would have consolidated that 50 years later of having an independent governance mechanism that is able to interact with the political machinery, our agendas and policy, even reparation. And I ain't even talking, because reparation is one thing, but what we deserve as government providing its citizens, we'd have been able to get. Because we would have been orchestrated amongst our diversity in a party, these two parties that don't care what you get. But they deliberately destroyed that. Mm-hmm. And got help on the other side continuously to have the State Department go after the other ones. We call them political prisoners. And destroy those formations in those communities, Philadelphia, New York, in the southern states. You could see the southern farmers losing their land from 68 to now, and still. So I don't know what you know. All those people that ain't no new thing. I'm sorry.
And listen, as I recall, Trump and the Clintons was good friends.
Yeah.
Went to one another's wedding. When the kids got married, they was there. These people are friends. You're acting like this guy is some type of Frankenstein monster that these other people wasn't. They're all the same. This man, I mean, this Don Clinton laid a wound against black people. And the thing about it, when some blacks started realizing what was going on and calling him on the carpet when his wife was running for president, he got out there and threw black leadership, so-called leadership, under the bus. Oh, I didn't do it. They forced me to do it. You remember that, Richard?
Mm-hmm.
He put it on their lap.
And all the while, stealing from Haiti.
And if you remember, the fashion of that whole mass incarceration bill was this president that's in there now. and he made racist statements about black people.
Mm-hmm.
So ain't none of them no different. The only thing different about the guy that was in there 2 years ago is that he would make stupid statements out of his mouth that people could hear and say, wait a minute, damn, that guy's a fool. When these other guys wasn't saying that publicly.
And probably.
They were saying it privately.
And probably more black folks of a certain ilk are saying the Democratic Party has served us bad. Maybe we need to look at the Republican Party. That voice is building up now in the sense of the Democratic Party and is doing us bad. And just like the Republicans in the Republican Party, and you've seen it in this election, that them Republicans said, we don't like Trump either. And they supported a Democratic candidate.
Yeah, well, that's jumping from the frying pan to the fire.
Mm-hmm. But that's what, because it ain't no, I mean, you know, if it ain't going to be an independent option, that's the only option they got.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is to get off the stove, period. You wouldn't have to worry about the frying pan or the fire. Oh, man, this is well, let's get ready to wind things down. Richard, good conversation. I like to be in open form. Ought to be an interesting conversation Sunday. Looking forward to it. Before we leave tonight, tune in from 7 to 9 tomorrow evening for the Elders of Sankofa with Brother Alfonso Watkins as host. Interesting program and always interesting dialogue and guests when they have guests. So check it out tomorrow night, the Elders of Sankofa, tomorrow from 7 to 9. And look for Time for Awakening to be back Sunday evening at 7 until. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Sunday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. I know the things that they'll soon have to take.
save the children. To save the children.